You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
I'm your host, Lance White. I want to thank the nature spirits, the divas, elementals, fairies, and friends for sponsoring this show tonight. No money changed hands in creating this joint venture, but if you're feeling gratitude, you can go to www.afiresidechat.com to make a donation. Or you can go to Amazon Books and download my book, Tales of a Zany Mystic, freely on Kindle, or you can get it on paperback. Special thanks go to Laura Bruno, who turned me on to the website www.greenpolkadotbox.com for organic non-GMO foods at low prices on the net. Thanks, Laura. Tonight, my guest is Barbara Han Clow. Barbara is an internationally acclaimed ceremonial teacher, Mayan calendar researcher, and the author of The Mayan Code, The Pleiadian Agenda, Alchemy of Nine Dimensions, Liquid Light of Sex, to name just a few. She is a regular presenter of international talks and has taught at sacred sites throughout the world. She lives in Vancouver, British Columbia. Tonight we will be delving into her book, Awakening the Planetary Mind. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I know we're both kind of struck by the cold right now, yes?
Yes, it's true.
Yeah, you're in Canada, so you get a little bit more of a dose of the cold than I do here in Northern California.
Yeah, it's quite cold.
Well, so this is kind of an auspicious moment to be alive, yes, with all the astrological alignments?
Oh, yes, absolutely, especially the big Uranus-Pluto squares.
Now, are we still in that right now?
They go from 2012 to 2015, and the fourth one was early November, and then the heliocentric square, there's only one of those, was November 20th. So we're right smack dab in the middle of the most intense phase of the Uranus-Pluto squares.
And
they're very, very significant because Uranus conjuncted Pluto, which means came together in the sky, in the 1960s. And that's when all of the great movements for social change and enlightenment occurred, as we all know, the Roaring Sixties. And so when when two planets that have a conjunction come to their first square, then that's when all the issues that were brought up in this case in the 1960s, that's when all of those issues come to a head. And we're certainly experiencing that one, aren't we?
No kidding. And there seems like there's more information than ever about, who's pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Yeah, because Pluto rules the darkness and getting into the secrets. And then Uranus rules transformation and rapid change. And so we're experiencing a tremendous amount of leaking going on and exposure of the truth, which personally I think is marvelous.
Oh, yes. I totally agree with that one.
Yeah. But then we have to look at it from the point of view of the end of the Mayan calendar, which you can think of as a rolling date, 2011, 2012. It's that whole period when we went through those final stages of the end of the Mayan calendar. And it's so interesting that the Uranus-Pluto squares took right up, kind of like grabbed the football and ran with it as soon as we came to the end of the Mayan calendar. So we've kind of got two big factors, among many other things, that are in play right now. And one of those is the field shift on the planet at the end of the Mayan calendar. And I just finished writing a novel about that.
Oh, what is it? What's
it called? It's called The Ruby Crystal, and it's coming out next year. And what I did was, obviously I'm one of the Mayan calendar researchers, and so I've been delving deeply into the meaning of the end of the calendar since the 1970s. And so as we got closer and closer to the end of the calendar, 2011, 2012, we kind of were coming to the end point. And what happened is a lot of threads of consciousness and a lot of patterns kind of fed into that end point. And then when it ended, basically December 21st, 2012, the larger number of people were following December 21st, 2012, as you probably know. But Kalaman's contribution with these longer cycles is really a critical one. Carl Kalaman's ability to point out that what the calendar is tracking is evolutionary change. It's just a very, very profound part of our understanding here. And so once we came to that kind of pinnacle of evolution, that push, and once we came to the end of a phase that a lot of people were focusing on, then when we came to the end of it, just a year ago now, December 21st, 2012, a lot of people have been really kind of floundering and kind of are in a sense in a vacuum. They don't have a sense of what to focus on. And so in my case, because having been a researcher for so many years, I wrote a novel that covers the time period from May 2012 through May 2013. The novel goes, at this point I've finished it and it's getting turned in. And what I was trying to do was I was trying to describe what's really happening to us, because I think most people are really very confused, and I also think most people are very worried about where we might be headed next.
So how do you see that proceeding? Because obviously the Mayan calendar didn't stop with 2012 or 2011. It's going on. And then there are all the different galactic cycles that have come to an end, which indicate that we've completed the galactic and supergalactic cycles. So we should be, technically speaking, in a new space that has not occurred before, a golden age, so to speak.
Yeah, so I like to look at it from two points of view.
Okay.
One of the great things that Kalaman and Arguelles and most of the calendar people focused on was they all felt that when we came to the end of these cycles, that then these cycles would all get processed. And the best example of that is the patriarchy, the 5,000-year cycle of power and kings and priestly control. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the cycles that's basically is basically unraveling at this time, which is very difficult for a lot of people. So on the one hand, we're in the middle of this gigantic kind of like being in a blender with the Uranus Pluto squares. The Cuisinaire is attacking us with the Uranus Pluto squares. And then at the same time, this is my own opinion, and nobody else is saying this. I do know one other person who's saying, but I'll just give you my opinion.
Okay.
I also work with nine dimensions of consciousness, as you know, and you love my book, Nine Dimensions. Yeah.
And absolutely. So, it's a must-have.
yeah, that's a really fundamental book for kind of understanding what's going on.
Yes.
And so one of the thing that alchemy does that's really kind of unique is that the alchemy posits that there is a science for each dimension. And, for example, the second dimension, which is below the surface of the Earth and going down to the center of the Earth, that science would be tectonic science, science of volcanoes and vortexes and ley lines and stuff like that. Mm. Then in our dimension, our basic science is Newtonian physics. And then the science of the fourth dimension is quantum mechanics. And this is just a very way-out idea, but a lot of people are really finding that this idea is really useful. And then if we go up through the higher dimensions, each dimension has a different science. And so I think what's happening to us right now is I actually think that we have lifted out of the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're still here. But the laws of the third dimension, the laws of cause and effect, and especially the laws of time, I think that the key word for what's going on is time. And certainly the Mayan calendar certainly would lead you in that direction. So I think what's happening is that our understanding of cause and effect and the way time functions is functioning differently. And it's very bizarre because we're still here in the third dimension. You know, your body is there in Northern California, and mine's up here in Vancouver.
Okay.
But if you look at the laws of quantum mechanics, like laws like probability dynamics or the different theorems of quantum mechanics, What happens is everything functions very, very differently when you get into the quantum fields. There's always a possibility of something going this way or that way. In some cases, we seem to be in one place, and yet we're actually able to relate to something that's millions and billions and trillions of miles away. When you're in the quantum world, there isn't the same kind of separation that we experience in this dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could get really complicated about this. I actually thought we were gonna talk about the latest book, which is Astrology and Kundalini. So I don't
right.
even have, I don't even have a copy of Awakening the Planetary Mind here, but it doesn't matter. And if I'm not as sharp as usual, I just finished writing a 400-page novel yesterday, and I'm kind of still recovering. But basically, to just put it simply, the way it affects us is that we don't have the same certainty anymore whenever we try to do anything. People may be noticing that they decide, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, let's say I'm going to build a house, shall we say.
Mm.
And then you try to do all the things you've got to do to figure out how to build a house, and no matter what you do, nothing works, you know.
Right.
Or you may try to do something else, and it happens instantaneously. It's like the minute you think of it, it just manifests.
Yes.
You know, and so, and my husband Jerry said that what it's like is it's like every time you take one step forward, you feel like you're going to take three back. And you probably will. And you probably will.
Yes.
You probably are, if you know what I mean. And that's the way the quantum world functions, because the dynamics are different. But it's also so much more creative than the third dimension is. So I think that what we're experiencing, this is what I tried to play with in the novel. What you do when you write a novel is you just create some characters and you let them do it. And it's so much fun to have them talk to each other and work these things out
rather than
writing nonfiction. It's just a blast because between themselves, they figure things out.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and so what I did is I just turned these people loose to play with these kind of experiences in order to better understand what's actually happening to us right now.
Oh, that sounds like a fascinating book. And I have a funny feeling that you and I might be talking about that next year.
Oh, we probably will. Yeah, the ruby crystal is a ruby that I have that was given to me as a gift because I was a teacher. And it was in the third eye of a Buddha in Nepal. It's a very, very ancient stone that I've worked with for many, many years. And so I decided to have one of the characters in the novel obtain this crystal, and then she's the one who works with it.
Well, of course, we know that there was somebody who was looking for the ruby slippers. So maybe there's some kind of synchronicity there.
There could be. There could be.
So now, well, it seemed like we were getting into something good here, juicy, with quantum mechanics and the idea that there is no time gap between an atom or a quark experiencing something, that there are other elements that experience the same thing instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it takes no time for things to move around.
But you apply that to the human, and that's where it gets really interesting.
Oh.
You know, because all of a sudden, you know, non-locality is one of the laws in quantum mechanics, where, you know, that all these experiments where if you want to measure something, the minute the physicist is observing it, it does something else.
Mm-hmm.
All these
mm-hmm.
strange things that are going on in the fourth dimension. And I really think they're best understood in terms of a world of no time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of a philosopher you are, but my bachelor's degree was in philosophy, and I used to just love Leibniz. Did you ever read Leibniz?
Years ago, yes, when I was
And Leibniz basically can be the most easily understand by just playing table pool, and when you get out the old stick and you start knocking the balls around, according to Leibniz, reality is just a bunch of particles and balls bouncing off each other. And Leibniz was one of the first people who really understood the quantum world. It's just that he didn't know that's what it was at the time. And so everything that happens to us is happening as a result of our interactions with each other. One of the things that Kalman said was, he said that when the calendar ended that we would move into unity consciousness. And I see unity consciousness as the quantum field, where mm-hmm. everything is interacting with everything else. And the only influence that we really have over it at all, as far as I can tell, is by what's going on in our brains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole issue of creating reality with your thoughts, I think that what's happened is that took a quantum leap during this last year.
Ah.
But, of course, most people don't necessarily know how to do that, number one. Or if they do know how to do it, they don't know they're doing it. Or if they know how to do it, they don't do it because they're not sure it's really real.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the big points that you make in your book, Awakening the Planetary Mind, that what people are going through, which they term a midlife crisis, is actually a perfectly designed awakening tool, which is the release of Kundalini. And so that ties into what we're talking about, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and then I thought we were going to be doing astrology and the rising of Kundalini, which is my latest book that just came out, but it doesn't matter. But that
right.
book tracks. That astrology and the awakening of Kundalini is a complete rewrite of Liquid Light of Sex, and which came out in 1991. And I brought out a new book because the whole field has advanced to such an extreme degree. And astrology and the awakening of Kundalini traces the phases of Kundalini rising that all of us go through, like at Saturn return 2930, and then especially a midlife crisis, you know. And so mm-hmm. I posit in astrology and the awakening of the Kundalini, just as you said a minute ago, that we're in the middle of a massive Kundalini awakening. And that's also what the Mayan calendar is all about.
Now, does that relate, is the serpent relating to the Earth's Kundalini rising, and which awakens the solar system and the cosmos?
I think this is, personally, I think this is a human issue. I think this is
okay.
an issue of human response to the environment. I think it's a very psychological issue. I think one of the reasons people have difficulty with Kundalini energy, and what is Kundalini? Kundalini is Eros. It's the life force. It's the expression of life within the human body, and then it functions by means of working with chakras, like heart chakra, solar plexus chakra. It works with clearing the different chakric systems in our body so that the Eros, the life energy, can rise all the way through the human system. And so astrology and the awakening of the Kundalini is about the timing of those various cycles for people. And mm-hmm. I pretty much advocate a sense of, it's kind of like a solar growth hypothesis, that we live on this planet and we're growing by means of the force of the sun. And then like plants, we go through these cycles. So the plants and the animals and the earth also go through these cycles. But in terms of working with it, I'm mainly working with humans. There's no question that all species and all entities are involved in this cosmic dance.
Hmm.
It's just that I think our job is to figure out what we're doing as humans.
Hmm. Right, and to think for ourselves so that we can figure it out and learn how to put aside the left brain thinking in preference of whole brain thinking and intuitive living. You point that out through examples throughout the book
yeah.
with clients that you've had over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these clients have had, you probably can remember some of the more interesting experiences.
Oh, yeah.
But the bottom line is that there's a lot of repression that goes on that creates the shadow, then that creates the need for shadow work. And then you mentioned, having a brain orgasm. And I thought
yeah.
that was an interesting experience to
mm-hmm.
talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what happens. When Kundalini does rise all the way through the system, people do have brain orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens then is you become much more a part of the cosmic levels of consciousness. And it's really quite marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really advancing, Lance. Like, I've been a teacher now for 40 years, and I've been doing this for such a long time that I've been able to watch people by teaching. You know, you see
mm-hmm.
this progression with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how each generation, as far as I can see, is doing better with Kundalini rising. And what do you mean better? What kind of term is that? Well, ideally, Kundalini, when it's ready to flow, should just flow. And ideally, people don't panic and block it. And ideally, they don't set themselves up into life situations where they get blocked. And so if you go back to the generation, the older generation in terms of me, these would be people who were born in the teens and 20s, because I was born in 1943. Mm. And that generation was really repressed. They were just coming out of the Victorian era. Mm-hmm. And then we come into the period of the baby boomers, and that's where you start to see a real development into working with energy and healing and raising energy. And then the next generation after that, some of them, my children, they do it naturally because they're not having to fight through that battle anymore. And I strongly suspect that the people who are like in their 20s right now are doing it even more naturally, as far as I can tell. So I think people are changing, and then I think the whole field of the planet is changing. You know, but what throws the monkey wrench into it, as far as I can tell, this is why I went into such a deep exploration of it, is this period right now is really confusing for people. Don't you agree?
Oh, totally. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, there's it just depends on what kind of work that we've done on ourselves to prepare us for this time, and even then it still can be an eye popper, you know. And one of the things that's occurring with the magnetic shifting around the sun is shifting its poles, and there's talk about it being quadrupolar, which sounds like a cell dividing, is that all of this magnetism is causing my brain to not remember things the way that it usually does, so the data banks aren't quite there.
Yeah, that's true. And let's break it down, because when we let's just assume that what I'm saying about moving out of the third dimension and more into the fourth dimension, more into the quantum, let's just say that's true.
Yes.
Well, then all of a sudden, cause and effect doesn't work the same way. You know, it already for me is a dim memory of the day when I could make a decision, decide to do something, figure out how to do it. And then take all the steps to do it, and then it would get done.
Right.
That ain't there anymore.
No.
You know, and you have to navigate reality now by means of psychic attunement, emotional sensitivity, very, very focused mental powers. You've got to keep constantly aware of what's in your brain.
Yes.
Because what you're thinking about is what happens around you.
Exactly.
And I just had some amazing experiences since the calendar ended with that.
Well,
I live in an apartment building in Vancouver, and I have a chance to watch. We have 22 apartments in our building, and we're real active. Up in Canada, we're real active. We care for our own buildings. It's called Strata, and we run our buildings. And it's, that's just very different. Canadian culture is really a different experience. So I know all of these people really well because I'm involved with them, you know. And we've had nervous breakdowns. We've had the emergency people come and haul out five people in five of those units so far, just since the end of the Mayan calendar.
Huh.
I mean, I've seen stuff going on. I just can't believe it. People are just coming right up against the wall. And yet at the same time, I'm watching people learn how to do things in an entirely new way, an entirely different way, and it's really very exciting.
And as you said, it's no longer a linear existence. It's quantum. So your intention is you could have an effect that creates the cause. Things could go backwards, forward, sideways, or any other way.
Yeah.
And when you have a thought, you have to be careful, because if you don't have integrity and you haven't been working with thoughts and emotions actively, then those things can be like the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah.
And you can end up, you know, with some serious flea trouble.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then, of course, I set myself up to write a novel in the middle of it. I just
didn't know
what to do, and I've always wanted to write a novel. I actually wrote one 30 years ago and had a really big, like $100,000 advance from a big publisher. And I decided not to publish it because it was a very, very, it was about racial tension, and it was a very intense book. And I felt that I might ignite racial tension. And so I just decided I'm not here to do that. So I withdrew the book, gave up and I went into nonfiction. And now, after all of these years, I just decided it's time to do that, and it's time to do it the right way. And so fortunately, I created a creative field where I could play with this stuff. You know, I could watch to see how people would handle some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Interesting.
And so what I did was intuitively, in this case, the main subject matter in the book is priestly sexual abuse in the Catholic Church.
Oh.
So intuitively, I took on that whole data bank, and I had a lot of reasons to do that. I've had, most of my education has been in Catholic schools, and I've been inside a lot of the stuff in the church, and I know a lot about what's been going. I mean, I knew it was going on when it was going on, and I still know what's going on, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
But the interesting thing about that is what I didn't realize was I had picked the perfect topic to show how we must clear ourselves emotionally. In other words, I picked the perfect topic to show how people go through traumas and then can heal themselves by forgiveness or whatever they're going to use to heal themselves. In the case of the priestly sexual abuse, forgiveness actually has a lot to do with it. So I picked the right topic, but then in the middle of it all, the Vatican exploded. And right now we have two popes sitting in the Vatican. You know, and if you want to look for a place where there's some kind of global control going on, it's right there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so fortunately, I wrote myself right into exactly the right thing at exactly the right time.
Wow.
Because the Vatican bears watching.
Oh,
because
yeah.
They're at the center of global finance, and they're at the center of global religious power. And because of the nature of the universal global church, they have a tremendous amount of power on this planet. And so it's a great example of one of the, you know, there's this issue of clearing these structures of the last 5,000 years. And the Catholic Church is certainly one of the best examples of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I've been having a lot of fun watching all of them handling the quantum field.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know what to do because they don't know how to do things anymore.
Huh.
You know,
they certainly know how to put on a show.
Oh, they know how to put on a show. Sure. Always have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd sure like to know what kind of amazing, vast secrets they're holding on to that should be, you know, that should be in the public domain.
Well, you're going to get a few of them pretty soon.
Oh, and from you, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people told me a lot of things over those 40 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
and this
yes.
is all going to be in your next, in the... Oh, my gosh.
When I was in Catholic, when I was in graduate school, I was actually the working astrologer in a school where I was counseling priests and nuns.
Oh.
And
so, oh.
Yes.
I see.
Of course,
said
I'm not
blind
revealing.
Man.
Of course, this is why I switched to fiction. I
yeah,
do know,
right.
I know a lot, and I will never reveal anybody's sort. I will never give any of that away. And
right.
so I'm able to reveal some things with that I certainly could not reveal if I stuck with nonfiction.
Oh, absolutely. And what about the ET connection that goes back hundreds
of
thousands?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. I'm not exploring... This is a trilogy in the first book.
Oh, good.
I'm not exploring it yet because I'm waiting to see what's going on in the Vatican. Because I'm right on the fence. This Francis might be a good guy. He could be. But I probably think he's probably not.
Probably not. Well,
probably.
You know what... You know what the prophecy? He could surprise us. But you know what the prophecy says, that he's the one that leads everybody back to the church, and then everything is they completely release it into the
That's
world.
Right.
That there's some kind of dramatic cutoff
That's
or
right.
explosion in Rome. I mean, there's all kinds of different apocalypse.
Oh, I know. Petrus Romanus, great.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. All that stuff. Oh yeah. No, and there's no question. I mean, I didn't pick this topic because of that, but once I got into it, I realized, like, boy, this is exactly where I should be, just because I do know a lot about it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, right, and then I have the background to assess what I heard.
Wow, well, then you probably are familiar with the work of Kevin Annette, who
mm-hmm.
is, he's doing a lot of research and exposing of the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to the global pedophilia and sex trade business, the drug, the mafia drug industries, and other things that he's aware of.
Yeah, I'm aware. I'm actually aware of that. I had to put that in, and I know some other writers who are dealing with that.
Yeah.
And I decided not to go there. You know how it is. You've got to pick what you're going to hit.
Oh, right, right.
You know what I mean? But there's no question that, for example, there's an issue of satanic rituals. And
right.
what I did with that is I just alluded to it because I don't, at least with the first book, I don't want to get too deeply into that. Because I'll tell you why, Lance. So I think we're in a period right now of clearing, and something good could be going on, you know. I mean,
That's
it isn't always negative on this planet.
That's true. That's absolutely right.
And so, you know, I have, I have a whole bunch of friends who just who know a lot. And and they don't, I'm not going to give any names here, but they know what's going on, and I know what's going on, too. But they aren't able to entertain the possibility that it could change. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, right, right.
Okay. I think it could change, and I actually think it is changing.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, yeah. So so there's that funny thing of you get down that road where it's always going to be like that. I don't think so. I think something else is going on.
Well, right. Yes, absolutely. And don't you feel, too, that the old astrological models are could fall apart and crumble if everything shifted around, if the stars all moved?
I don't think the stars are going to move. I think we're going to move.
Well, yes.
You
know, something's going
to move. I think our orientation, our point of perception is changing. But I think the cosmos and the universe are pretty much an eternal organic whole, if you know what
okay.
I mean. Okay. Yeah. I know, I love John Lasher. I've always loved his work. And there's all this stuff about Sophia traveling in different orbits and all that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that may be true. But I still find use of good, hardcore natal and analytic astrology still works according to the old principles.
Mm. Well, one thing for certain is that people are resonating to a higher frequency, and that seems to preclude some of the activities that are engaging in subterfuge and an opaque kind of presentation of things, which doesn't permit us to know what's really going on.
Yes.
And you've been talking about that for decades.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, what we're talking about here is what's going on in the fourth dimension. We're talking about the way the dark and the light is used to mind control people.
Right.
And there's no question that the fourth dimension is real, and that's how it works in the fourth dimension. But when people figure it out, they're not ruled by those kinds of complexes anymore.
Well, yes.
We can have freedom on this planet. But it involves a tremendous amount of awareness, and that's where the breakdown of the secrets is just so critically important right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a feeling a whole lot of people who read the Ruby Crystal won't be able to stay in the church anymore.
Oh,
now, I didn't write it to get people to leave the Catholic Church.
Right.
But I wrote it so that the Catholic Church is going to have to go to another level. If people are going to have any reason to continue to be involved with it.
Right.
So it either will or it won't.
Right,
but,
right.
You know,
if
it's
it doesn't.
The old-fashioned, the prophecies say that there's going to be an apostasy at this time, which apostasy means that all of the people will leave the church. Well, you know what? Considering how people were treated in the church for the last 100 years, why wouldn't they leave? I was Catholic, and we have 4 children. And we left the church and took our 2 younger children out because we knew that we had an abuser priest in our parish. And the priest did end up abusing a lot of the kids in our parish.
Mm-hmm.
But we pulled our kids out.
Oh.
And this is back in the 1980s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
so, you know,
a long time ago.
Why stay in there with your kids and send them off to First Communion?
Well, right, unless you're complicit in it.
Yeah. So the thing that I did go deeply into is why the priestly sexual abuse took over the structure of the church and how the hierarchy was using it to control humanity. That I did go deeply into. I just had to stay away from a lot of the other topics because there's just too much information.
Huh.
But I do think I understand the complex itself, and so I did. My characters did explore that.
So, how would we inform ourselves, and what's a viable way to regard that whole institution today?
Well, I think there's my book and a lot of other things that are coming along are really going into that level of consideration.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I think, in other words, each individual has to understand a lot more about what's going on. Because otherwise, as you know, you're a mind control slave.
Right, right.
You know, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a mind control slave.
I don't either.
Yeah.
No. And, you know, I'd prefer to tap into the fifth through ninth dimensions, as you point out in Alchemy of Nine Dimensions, that are accessible at any moment to all of us.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's a mind-blowing idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are used to thinking in terms of linear. Well, maybe we'll get to the fourth, maybe we'll get to the fifth, and we're creating 5D now. But as you said, with the quantum mechanics coming in, we may be already in all of them at once. And
it's a good point in your part, because the fourth dimension, what I'm proposing here is that we're really starting to be more in the quantum than we are in the third dimension. And so that's important because, you know, in the illustration I use for the nine dimensions, the fourth dimension is shown as a canopy over the human body. And then the upper dimensions, 5 through 9D, come into that canopy. And so really your only access to picking up those higher dimensions is being able to navigate the fourth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's happening, here's the reason I think people are so confused right now. I think because we've been thrown into a quantum world instead of a normal time-coded, cause and effect world, I think that the fifth through the ninth dimension are constantly popping into people's consciousness and into their lives and into their reality, but most people don't know how to recognize it. Certainly, Alchemy was a teaching book about how to recognize which dimension is coming into contact with you.
Right.
You know? So I think that it's like an alchemical soup that's boiling right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that could create a lot of confusion because we're getting the mind control numbing from one side, from many sides of the field simultaneously, mainly an assault on the organic, in the organic realms, in our bodies, in our and the skies, the chemtrails. But then we're picking up these things from the higher dimensions, which are piercing through the fourth, which is becoming more malleable and clearer.
Yep. Yeah, and of course, the clarity is mostly coming from people seeing the truth. That I just can't overemphasize how important that is right now. The different people who have done the leaks, like the leaks in the Vatican last year, were just a trip. I mean, it was so much fun writing about it because it was just so funny when the leaking started. And just in the Vatican and the Curia and all that, nobody had any idea what to do at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny stuff, a lot of funny stuff that people don't know very much about.
Is there anything you'd like to share tonight about that?
Is there anything what?
That you want to, some of the funny stuff that you just mentioned?
No, it's just funny in the sense that the Pope has a butler and the butler gets thrown in jail. I'm sure you heard out about that.
Yeah.
And then he also has a secretary who was satirized by Vanity Fair because he's kind of gorgeous. It's George Gansween. And he's kind of gorgeous George in Vanity Fair. And it's just very funny. And I think I'm bringing this up because I think, that, speaking of the fourth dimension again, I think the best thing we have as humans is a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. You know, when all else fails, just start laughing.
Right.
And so I did my level best to create some good laughs because we need that at this point.
Yeah.
We need that release from hearing the truth. You know.
Yeah.
And hearing what Hillary Clinton really was doing on the end, all the stuff that people need to start realizing how these people operate.
Yes, and it just doesn't seem like that information is getting through. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I don't agree. I think,
you know,
because
you think
of the internet. If it weren't for the internet, it wouldn't be. But of course, there's nothing on the media. It's hysterically funny.
Well, right.
There's nothing on the media. Let's do Nelson Mandela for 10 days straight, you know. Nothing
right.
to say. Meanwhile, all this amazing stuff is going on in the world.
Huh. Well,
we mainly get that communication through internet and through blogs and all that. That's where you get that kind of information at this point, besides deep research, hopefully.
Right. Well, now, what about pulling it in from the field? As you say, that we can tap into the pure genius that Einstein was talking about, that we're in it. We're pulling, when we're in an expanded state, we are already able to tap into that.
Yeah, and I agree.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, first of all, you can just tap in, which I spend a lot of my time doing. But
right.
I do think that there's a mass awakening going on because of the internet and because of the connections between people. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that is kind of the heart-to-heart connection that we all have, and it seems like we're being synchronized to the Earth's heartbeat. And hers seems to be that they've taken the megahertz, the hertz off the internet, so we can't really know how that's changing, but
mm-hmm.
if it reaches a certain frequency, isn't it about 13 megahertz
mm-hmm.
that we pop out of here? It kind of, you know, things start shifting into another arrangement of atoms and molecules.
Yeah, well, see, that's where it's so interesting, because I don't think that this planet and the species and humans and all that are going to go away. I think
yeah.
it's going to be a matter of where their point of perception is located. Because, see, right now, as you sit there and I sit here, we're nine-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, where is our point of perception? So if your point of perception is totally locked right into 3D, cause and effect, then that's where you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but if your point of perception is more fourth-dimensional, which is what seems to be going on, then that's where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And since we seem to be progressing, it would appear to me that the point of perception on our planet is meant to be in the fifth dimension.
Yes, yes.
And then when you're in the fifth dimension, you're in the center. You know, you're in the center of the nine dimensions. You're in the heart. And then you have the full access to the higher cosmic levels in the universe, and you also have access to the full knowledge of Earth.
Well,
and at that point, people will stop acting as stupid as they have been. Because people don't have to be this stupid. I mean, the decisions...
Are you sure?
The decisions that are made, you know, at the municipal level or the state level or national or global or whatever, are profoundly stupid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's not necessary.
No. I agree.
And it's going to change, because that's what's being, that whole way of doing things is what's being transformed by the Uranus-Pluto squares.
Mm. And that's what we have going on right now, and that's going on until 2015, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
So we'll have, and we're in the middle of the most intense part of it, and then there are three or four more transits?
There's three more. We just did the fourth. There's seven total, and we just did the fourth one.
Wow.
And, you know, if you try to go back to last year, when they first started, you almost can't remember. It's getting to be so intense.
It is. It truly is.
But that's what it takes to change, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it takes to activate the human will, to make the sacrifices and to do something that matters instead of being lazy buttheads. You know, that's what it takes.
Right.
You know, Lance, you had some of that in your own life.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of my life was like that. I didn't change until I got a brick on my head.
Yeah.
And finally I realized, well, wait a minute, I don't need a brick. I could simply just change before the brick hits, and that's a much easier, softer way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really true.
Well, so you don't think Beavis and Butthead is going to be rerunning in 2014?
I don't think so. But I think 2014 is going to be very, very intense. The most intense of the seven squares, and what that means is there's the Uranus square Pluto thing. Then there's all the other planets. And so the next square is April 2014, and there's a grand square in that one. There's a grand square with Uranus square, Pluto square, Jupiter square, Mars.
Whoa.
And they're all 14 degrees. And so that one will be like the annealing furnace, in a sense. That one will be the one that will grab, you know, structures and individuals in structures, and that's the one that will lock people in and that will cause them to shift.
Oh. So it just feels to me kind of like we're energetically being set up.
Oh, yes, yes.
Or we're, as a collective, we're setting ourselves up.
Now, that's where it gets interesting. I do think that these are cycles that are beyond us. I think there's intentions in the universe. I think there's an evolutionary growth that's going on in the whole universe. We aren't even talking about all the other places in the universe.
Oh,
and, of
yeah.
course, I've always said I'm an advocate of exopolitics. That's
yes.
a field of study that has to do with the idea that our planet was quarantined from the rest of the universe 11,500 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And 11,500 years ago, this is the subject matter that you started with, Awakening the Planetary Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea would be that the Earth went through a series of cataclysms 11,500, 12,000 years ago that are extremely important to us at this time because, number one, that was the first phase of cataclysms that we actually, you know, they're really part of human memory. They're part of the geology. They're mm-hmm. part of the structure of the planet. And all of us have a latent memory of these cataclysms. And then what's been happening is we've been recovering from those events ever since then. We've been going through a long process of recovering our consciousness. But meanwhile, once our species went through such a horrific experience, we turned into a very violent and abusive species.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're clearing now. My belief, strong belief, is that as bad as it looks, people are actually looking at the destruction of war and abuse and the pain on the planet. And I think that when people start to see it for what it is, that's when it's going to change.
So all of this war business and killing and so on and so forth, we could say that has to do with the global control system or the greed and so on, but at another level you're saying that we're simply processing our global cellular memories and working through all of that, and that will come through the other side of it.
Yes, I think that's true. And then I don't want to also put away the fact that the main cause, especially in the 20th century, 19th and 20th century, of all the wars is armaments manufacturing. And I think that that's going to be the next big wake-up call that's going to come. I thought maybe the killings in Newtown of the children might start people to wake up at this point, because Connecticut makes the highest profits off of weaponry and armaments of any state in the United States.
And then
the United States, of course, has been making huge amounts of money for 100 years off of armaments. And it's time for people to start realizing that as long as these people get away with making this stuff and selling it, it's very predictable what's going to happen to all that stuff once you manufacture it.
Oh, right.
It's going
right.
to get used, if you know what I mean. But it's
Absolutely.
Time for people to wake up. And between the two world wars, there actually was a movement in the United States of people, a few million people who really understood what the arms manufacturers were doing. And we've got to get back up to speed on this, because speaking of, this is a great example of stupidity.
Right. Yes. Prime. Primo.
Yeah.
Primo example. And the whole truth of the matter is that the arms dealers, the arms of manufacturers, are selling to both sides, all sides.
That's right.
There's no distinction between this side or that side. It's just lip service when you hear the politicians talk about it, and that's all smoke and mirrors and part of the illusion.
That's right.
That is being held up so that they can continue to make trillions of dollars off of all this
That's right.
crap.
Yeah, and they're going to do it as long as they can get away with it based on secrecy. And
right.
So this is why people investigating the real truth about what's going on is so important.
Yes. And people coming out who are involved, that know things, really need to look at, check their integrity and decide if they're on the side of humanity or if they're on the side of the losing side, which is the side that is greedy, that's trying to make a quick buck off of it.
Yeah. And in fact, did you notice that illustration in Awakening the Planetary Mind of the last 2 million years of human evolution? And what it shows, it goes back to 2 million years ago to Homo erectus, and then it goes through the various skulls. And what happens through our evolution is that one line continues, but then other lines split off like tree branches.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
So then what I did is at the top of the chart, we're up to 2012, and there's a line across there. And then it shows us splitting. And one Homo is like a monk wearing a white robe, a meditator, and then the other one is a guy carrying an AK-47. and what it's showing that the evolutionary line is moving through the spirit and moving through the meditator and moving to the man and woman of peace, and that the man and woman of war is going to end up being a dead evolutionary phylum. And I think that's true.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's hard to imagine it now. And all any one of us can do, of course, day in and day out, is do what we can about it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's really important. You've just hit the nail on the head, is that so many in the New Age movement have become accustomed to just wishing away their problems or thinking, well, that doesn't pertain to me. And, well, those poor people should create a new reality. They chose that life.
Yeah,
and it's time for us who are on the forefront to start stepping up to the plate and taking responsibility.
Yeah,
for all of it.
Yeah, and
every
it's an interesting
bit,
thing because, of course, I do it mostly as a writer, and I do some other things besides being a writer. But the other issue is, like, what are you doing every day just in your life? Like, who did you care about today? Who did
mm-hmm.
you know that is? It's a combination of what goes on day by day. And then it's a combination of that larger commitment. But
mm-hmm.
personally, I just can't imagine not being involved and not caring and not doing everything I could do.
Yes, I agree with you on that one. And once you connect to the heart and the mind of the heart, then it's pretty difficult to see things from the brain in the
yeah.
brain.
Yeah.
Well, a better illustration is, as Carmen Bolger says, that the Egyptians mummify the heart and they take special care with oils, but they toss the brain in the trash.
Yeah, right. That's true. There's one guy, a guy named Davidovitz, who thinks that the way they got the limestone in the pyramid rocks to gel was they ground up brains and put it in the lime mix for making blocks for the pyramid. I love that idea.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yes, you not only throw away the brains, but you use it for mortar.
Well, that's a good definition of blockheads.
That's true.
Well, on that happy note, we have a couple of minutes left for you to talk about anything that you feel is pressing at the moment, and then we'll have to have you mention your websites and where people can find
yeah.
you and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, what I'd like to say is, having just gotten into such a major work investigating the way these fields work, and then I'm living also, like I only write 3 hours a day, and so I'm living my life. And I have really noticed that if you just observe carefully, you can almost tell that your life wants to go this way instead of that way.
Yeah.
And you kind of just have to follow the magical thread.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really, really tricky right now, but if you can stop trying to control it and stop trying to use the old ways of cause and effect to get things done, it's really magical at this
mm-hmm.
time. Like,
mm-hmm.
one of the best examples of this, Lance, was when that whole thing was going on with Syria, and I don't want to act like the war in Syria went away, because I certainly know it didn't, if you know what I mean. We're just not hearing about it right now.
Right.
But still, that whole little game that went on between Obama and Putin, that resulted in getting rid of the chemical weapons was totally magical.
Uh-huh.
And that's a good example of the things that are happening now, and I don't fully understand how that whole thing worked, but
right.
something went on there in the way that whole process worked that's different than anything I've ever seen before.
Yes. Yes, it's not business as usual.
What did you say, Lance?
It just seems like, when these people meet, there are things that happen that maybe are unexpected, that are out of
yeah.
the box.
Well, see, I think they're acting differently.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. like in the papal conclave, what happened was everybody was told, this is fact, everybody was just completely sick of all the old arguments. And then Bergoglio, who is now Pope Francis, just simply came forth and only spoke for 4 minutes with a new vision of the evangelization of the church, which
mm-hmm.
is to take care of the poor. And he shifted the whole dynamic instantaneously.
Mm.
And that's how it is right now. You're wandering through reality, and you're looking for that special point of attention. Follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, what we've got to do now. I just think it's a completely new dynamic.
Mm. Well, on that happy note, let's find out where people can find your works, and and we'll continue on from there.
Okay, my website is hand, H-A-N-D, clow, C-L-O-W, 2012.com. And what I'm doing on the website right now is I'm writing free Uranus square Pluto articles whenever we have a Uranus Pluto square. So the first 4 are posted at this time, and then the other ones will be posted through 2015. And
wow.
then I'm also doing some teaching, and that's when I'm teaching or when I'm doing an interview or whatever, that all that stuff is posted.
Wonderful.
And otherwise, I'm just dealing with getting a novel out in probably in the fall.
Well, I'd sure like to get an advanced copy of that.
Well, maybe you can.
I'm just putting it out to the universe. That's all I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, as soon as it hasn't been edited yet. Right now there's reader copies, but these are readers who are fact-checking for me. And then it goes into editorial, which will probably be in the spring. So I'll keep that in mind. And as soon
all
as
right.
Because I think you'd like it.
Well, I'm also an editor of books, so I did George Gavassos' book, Our
uh-huh.
Universal Journey. So
yeah.
if you need a little help with it, just
yeah,
let me know.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. They of course, have their editor there, and I like...
Oh, I know. I'm just teasing.
But I like their editor. One of the reasons, it's going to be with Bear and Company
yeah.
again, and one of the reasons is I like their editor so much. But that doesn't mean, that I can't get you into this, too. So thank you.
All right. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I just love you.
Well, this is really fun, and I just love you, too. So.
We'll be talking again.
Okay.
So in the quantum field, we'll say good night for now.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Night.